Hey, y'all, on this episode of What's Happening with Carolina Chuck, we're going to talk to MLB legend Tommy John. This year, he's been nominated for the Era Hall of Fame. So y'all check him out. Be good. Peace out.
Here, cheers. I'm having a Manhattan from Tommy's Field of Dreams bourbon.
Let me see that. Get that over here a little bit.
You got to get it towards Tommy's head. Oh, there
it is. Wow.
And there's his picture on the cork.
That's awesome. I usually do this in person, and I've interviewed a guy like named Eric Saluri from Watertown, and he does the Full Throttle Saloon Shine. He was on the TV show Full Throttle Saloon, and brings in. I've got a shelf full of liquors that somehow I've invited all these people in that make alcohol or something. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, well, you got plenty of those in Clayton.
Yeah.
Clayton Distillery. You got Randazzo with the wine. You got up there at the nunnery.
That's awesome. Yeah,
and nunnery. Nuns drink.
Priests drink.
Yeah, I think they do.
Tommy, how much sex does a priest get, Tommy?
Huh?
How much sex does a priest get?
As much as he wants.
None.
N-U-N.
Oh my goodness.
That I had to go awesome. A long way for that joke.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm gonna drink my
All right, well, are we ready?
Yeah, let's and do me a favor. Say all right,
Chuck,
hi to
make
Mark
the introductions, man.
Say hey to Mark, I will. He's a really cool guy.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he has been super nice. Mark Gaines.
He is now the GM, which this show will air on.
NBC Watertown.
Watertown NBC, right?
Yeah.
I worked at NBC in New York for 30 years.
Wow.
Hey,
so I also talked to a guy named Joseph Cook. He was the producer. He produced the Olympics. He was the technical manager for the Olympics.
Okay, because my husband was in charge of everything for the Olympics for 15 years.
Wow.
He did the Russian Olympics that never happened. Then Barcelona. He did Winter Olympics, everything.
Yeah, that is incredible.
And then I married a baseball player.
Yeah.
Well.
Tommy made his career on the rubber. I made mine selling rubbers.
Well, so here's what we're going to do. So this is going to be a podcast. So I'm going to pull the audio to a Rodecaster. It'll be uploaded today or tomorrow on a podcast. The whole interview will. And then I got to get like 23, 55 seconds for TV. So on December 1st, this episode will air on NBC Watertown. And then it'll hit YouTube and we'll do a little bit
Before they vote. December 8th.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, anyways, it is such an honor to meet you. I've heard about you my entire life.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And John Smoltz was the pitcher I wanted to be when I was a little league pitcher. And to hear him say such nice things about you was incredible. Yeah. So that was really awesome to meet you finally, for sure.
You're welcome.
And the whole theme of my show is based on me kind of exploring the North Country, but we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. So you're getting into the Hall of Fame. Now it's the Era Hall of Fame, correct?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Era.
Pre-1980.
Yeah.
Contributions. Pre-1980.
Yeah, and so and you're going up against, what is it, eight other guys?
No, there are eight of us total.
Oh, eight of you total, okay.
And seven others.
Yeah, and
Louis Tignot, Steve Garvey.
Kenton Lloyd Boyer.
Dave Parker.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, my gosh, dude, you have an incredible amount of stats to go along with that to get you in there, too.
Mac will tell them.
Yeah, Mac has been, he's been spitting them off to me and sending me links and stuff, you know, because obviously you're a little bit before my time, but I just knew about the surgery stuff.
How old are you?
I'm 38 years old.
So
I was born in 86.
Yeah, a little bit before your time.
Yeah, yeah.
Your children are older.
That's when Tommy was just wrapping it up.
Yeah, just wrapping it up. So, when was the last year you played?
81.
No, 89. 89. 89. Yeah, I was thought it was. Yeah, because you were still playing when I was, you know, alive. So how many wins was it you had? It was
288.
My goodness. And so we're looking at, and you had 288 wins. It was, what are you thinking it's going to take you to get over the hump to get into the Hall of Fame?
Well, here's the thing, too. He had 188 no decisions.
Yeah, that was the number. That was incredible, too.
And he missed an entire season and a half. So that puts him well over right
now. And not counting the time he's fighting on the mound, lost a little time that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a video on that too. That was incredible. Wow.
Dude. So here's, put it in perspective.
Yeah.
If of the 188 no decisions, if he had just won 6.4% of those 188, that would have put him over the 300 magical figure of getting into the Hall of Fame. The magic number, 300.
And was it also exactly 700 starts?
Yeah.
Exactly. And only 8 people in the history of Major League Baseball.
700 starts. I said, this is my last one. I'm done.
He said, I'm done. Wow. Why?
You like round numbers.
Yeah, I'm like, why?
And after your surgery, you never missed a start.
Yeah, I never missed a start post-surgery.
Really? Now, he was telling me you've been in 3 World Series, too.
4, isn't it?
3. 3, all with the Yankee Dodgers.
Yankee Dodgers. Okay.
77, 78, and 81.
How about 74?
Well, that's when you went down for the injury.
Yeah, but I was out on the field.
Oh, all right, count that one, man.
So we got 4 then. Oh my goodness.
I like it. Just to give you a little perspective too, on that year that he got the surgery, his record was 13-3.
13. Yes,
it was over 800, a winning percentage of over 800. That's pretty incredible.
That is incredible. That is incredible. And
you know what I love, Chuck?
What do you love?
Well, I wear his 25 around my neck.
Oh, look at that.
So his surgery was September 25th, 1974. He just had his 50th anniversary
of the surgery
on September 25th. Divide that by 2, it's 25.
Okay.
His jersey that he's worn his entire career is 25.
Yep.
If
the year he would go in.
Yeah, the year he goes in will be 2025. And Cooperstown address is 25 Main Street.
Look, I'm a numbers guy. I have an alarm set for 11:11 every day so I can text my wife a heart. That's I'm a numbers guy, but now you're a shoe-in now.
I like you like 11. That's my birthday, December 11th.
Oh, my goodness. Huh, sir?
Where does your wife live?
Oh, well, here's the thing. My wife was born in Watertown, New York, and when her parents split up when she was little, and her mom's family had moved south, and she grew up in my hometown of Clover, South Carolina, and that's where we met. But she's, do you know the Cabreras any?
Yeah. Oh my God, Charlie, Billy.
Yeah, so.
I have to tell you, I lived in Greenwich, Connecticut, and their cousin owned, the Galassos owned a big tire company.
Yeah.
And his, Mr. Galasso's son grew up in my house.
Really?
So when I moved back to Watertown, I went to Cabreras and I met Charlie at first and yeah. bought my three-seater Ski-Doo or whatever from Charlie.
So here's the connection with those guys. So Charlie and Billy's mother, Helen, is sisters with my wife's grandmother. So my wife's dad is first cousins, and I went up there and worked for Frankie, Charlie's son, at the Honda store.
Did you know the dad, Frank?
I didn't know him. I heard all about him, but I didn't know him.
Frank and Helen were the best. They had their 50th anniversary, and there was a place called Karen and Jasper's across from the high school in the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there one night, and I just adored Frank Sr.
Yeah.
And I went next door, and I got a bottle of Dom Perignon and set it on the table.
Yeah.
Helen had never forgotten that.
Yeah.
But they are a great family. You know Jessica, babe.
Yeah. She gave me a little jackalope I was going to put in my podcast studio. So what I did was we moved up there. We went up to Watertown on a summer vacation, and I was selling B2B stuff. I was selling stairs and stuff, and we came up there on a summer vacation and talked to my wife's grandmother, who got me in touch with Billy, her nephew, yep. And he said, "Man, we'll put you on the sales floor." And you know, on my way home, I was thinking about it. And then I stopped at a Tim Hortons, and I had some coffee from there. And as I'm sipping that coffee, I'm like, "Christy, I think we can move up here," you know?
Yeah, Tim Horton got you going.
I know, it's Tim Horton's fault that it made me move up there. And then I came up there and I started cutting radio commercials and stuff, and it kind of made a name for myself. And then that's when I started a podcast, and NBC picked it up as a TV show, and that's how all this took off.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when did y'all meet?
Ask Tommy how he got involved with Watertown.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. When did y'all meet?
Lean over this way.
I was I went up there to do a Little League dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I was a guest speaker, and Miss Cheryl here sent her sister over and wanted to know if I would do a mural. They had a 8x12 foot mural that Vida Blue, Gaylord Perry, Tom Seaver, and myself painted.
Wow.
And that's how I got to Watertown.
Yeah.
So I didn't meet him until he came up to, we were going to donate $1 million to the UFO.
Yeah.
And they
USO.
USO.
The UFO.
You donated that to the UFO.
Yeah. No, I'd rather donate it to Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I think he might be an alien anyway.
Yeah.
But they were so hard to deal with. We had this 8x12 foot mural, and we made, I don't know how many G clays, but we took it to New York City and walked it around the entire city. Like 8 people carrying it. And we started talking. And that was in September.
And then you threw yourself at me.
No, you threw yourself at me.
Uh-oh.
Literally.
My friend that was part of the project.
Yeah.
It was her birthday and she was at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And she was texting him. And she went, "Tom, are you dating anyone? Because you were in the middle of a divorce."
Yeah.
And you said, "No."
"No, I'm not." She says, "Well, what would it take to date somebody?" I says, "Well, she would have to play golf."
Uh-oh.
And she does.
And I kick his butt.
Really? You know, I had an interview with, his name's Peter Beams. You know him?
Who?
Peter Beams.
Oh, yes.
The professor.
Pete. Didn't he used to be the pro at Ives Hill?
Yes, that's the same one.
He's from England, or
yes, yeah, that's the same one. He
you
did
met
a,
him.
Yep, he did a podcast with me. It was pretty good.
He
I met
always hangs out with
Johnny Spazzano. Johnny Spazzano. Yep, that's
Spazzano.
Yeah.
There's another radio name for
yeah,
you.
That's who cut my. That's how I met him. Is he would come in and I would cut the commercials with him. Like he was the one that recorded. Yeah, he's really. I mean, he's really genuine. I've on and off there. You know, he's a really good guy. And Pete's a really cool guy. You know, great golfer, but he's like he brought me a whole bucket of balls and left them on my desk at the dealership. And he's a great guy.
But it's funny. So in November, mm-hmm. my girlfriend, I was throwing a birthday party for her, and I had a bunch of girls over and my sister. They come into the living room. Unbeknownst to me, she had been texting him for 2 months.
Yeah.
They walk in. It's her birthday, but she walks in with this. It's a baseball.
And a martini glass.
And it says,
I want you to hold my ball. What does that say?
CDZ, will you have dinner with me?
Oh,
my goodness.
And I went, oh, and it has down there, Tommy John. And I went, who the hell is Tommy John? Because I forgot.
I don't know.
They were like, Tommy, he did the mural. Then finally I wrote, yes, CBZ.
Where is this mural now?
It's in California. I don't know what he did. It's framed. It had nothing to do with baseball. That's why it didn't sell.
Yeah.
It was three runners. Mm-hmm. And an eagle. I thought I printed it out, but
might see if I can find a copy of it.
Yeah, it's called Champions. But it was bizarre. Nothing ever happened with it. It had something to do with baseball because we were going to do Heartland with four country stars at first, and I went to Nashville like 15 times.
Really?
But we finally got Tommy, Gaylord Perry, Tom Seaver, and Vita Blue.
Really?
Let me see if I can.
Those are some good names.
Yeah.
Those are some big names, big name pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I heard the second date wasn't so romantic.
Oh, yeah. He comes up. Our first date, he comes up. I don't know where we went.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Marlene's bed and breakfast.
Oh, Tommy.
Second day.
Wow.
Yeah, moving right along. Working,
I had left NBC and moved back to Watertown to take care of my mom.
Oh.
And I was doing real estate with my sister, Karen Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a listing in Black River across the street from my older sister, Judy. He decides he wants to go with me instead of going to my sister's across the street.
Yep.
So he sat there all through the listing, and Jolie and Neil were going to go across the street to have dinner, too.
Mm-hmm.
We walk out the front door, and boom! It was February...
Whatever.
What's Thanksgiving or Valentine's Day?
14th.
Okay.
February 14th.
So this was like February 15th or something.
Yeah.
And it takes eight people to get him into an ambulance, and we get him to Samaritan Medical.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Vanenum's mom had just passed away. So Dr. Baird comes in and he goes, oh my God, Tommy John, can I see your elbow? But Dr. Van was like, I don't want to touch that knee. That is nasty. So you called who? Stu? Your friend Stu Siegel?
Yeah.
Was it Stu?
Yeah.
In New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So he stayed at my house for like 3 days. And then I drove him down and...
We went to the hospital for a special surgery.
A new Tommy John surgery.
A new Tommy John. Wow.
I've been with him 14 years now. He's had a shattered knee,
mm-hmm.
knee replacement, hip, spine surgery, hip another hip revision, gallbladder, spine surgery.
And now bladder.
Now bladder surgery.
Lord, goodness gracious, Tommy.
It's like a MASH unit.
You the like, bionic man.
What
yeah,
is?
The bionic man turns into Clinger.
He's the model for that game Operation.
Yeah. Yeah, the baseball, MLB style operation.
Yeah.
Put Tommy John there and start picking out his elbow.
So what'd you think of the North Country?
You know what else is interesting?
What's that?
For some reason, he kept the original cast from 1974.
Really?
And it was signed by...
the whole Dodger team.
And?
And who?
Vin.
Oh, Vin Scully.
Tommy Lasorda.
Well, Lasorda was the manager.
Okay. who else?
Danny Murtaugh.
What?
So 2 years ago, we ended up donating it to the Smithsonian Institute.
Really?
Sold it.
Yeah. Did you see on TV? Wait a minute. Today, somebody had artwork. It was a banana with...
oh, my God. I've seen that.
Did you see that?
A banana taped to the wall.
And it's sold for $6.5 million.
All right. I'm getting into art then.
Yeah. Either that or getting into bananas.
Yeah.
Here we see
one or the other.
Cast up here. Yeah. See it?
Yeah.
That's when he broke his thumb, and it has all the Yankee...
yeah, don't donate that to anybody. Keep
I'm
that
not.
One.
Yeah, keep that one.
I'm gonna let you ask questions, Chuck.
Hey, I'm having a good time. I like my whole thing is we casual conversation with information. I mean, this is great.
One of the best stories I heard was Tommy told me when they had a playoff game against Milwaukee, and he couldn't go on the field. And George Steinbrenner wanted to have his son, who had a horrific fall mm-hmm. from a window and rebounded. So actually, Reggie Jackson was holding his son on the field at Yankee Stadium as, 50,000 people cheering his name.
Yeah.
Travis. Travis.
Travis.
Yeah. Wow. You don't get those stories very often. Don't get that kind of life.
Wow.
And then, Tommy, tell him about Frank Sinatra, how kind he was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Frank was a big Dodger fan.
Yeah.
And so we were out there, and we got talking and, chit-chatting. And my mother had to have some cancer surgery done. And I mentioned it to Lasorda. And he said, well, let me call Frank. And so they called Frank, and Sinatra said, I said, well, we'd like to get her in down to MD Anderson in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll fly my jet into Terre Haute, pick her up, and fly her down. And I said, you would?
What?
He said, absolutely. Well, she died before that happened.
Oh,
so
man.
That was a Frank Sinatra story.
Holy crap. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's pretty cool connection. And then during the time with Lasorda, he was friends with, Don Rickles. He'd have him come into the locker room.
Oh my
Tommy's
gosh.
Got some good stories about that one, too.
Really? So I'm a big Atlanta Braves fan. And I saw that, yeah, I'm a big Atlanta Braves fan. And my dude Freddie Freeman plays for the Dodgers now. So
yeah,
pretty happy you got him another World Series. But
I think you forget, there's some Yankee fans in this crowd, man. Killed us in a World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was sad.
He actually broke a record for consecutive games with home runs.
Well, look, the Yankees beat my team in, 96 or something? So, whatever.
Well, they had their number for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, they would have won. You would have won if Bob Lemon hadn't taken you out of the game. I just saw the video the other day.
I sensed that video.
Yeah.
I watched Tommy's face. No wonder they scored 8 runs right after he got out of the game.
He, yeah.
All Bob Lemon was doing, and George Steinbrenner called him into the office, and they had, like you do in football, they're, okay, here's how we're going to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in baseball, you play the game the way the other side gives it to you.
Right.
We're going to get a lead early, and then we're going to the bullpen, and we're going to win it out of the bullpen. So I gave up my first run, and they tied the score 1-1 in the fourth inning, and he pinch hit for me in the bottom of the fourth.
For Bobby Mercer. But first of all, let's go back a little bit. The first run that he gave up was the first run he gave up in 13 innings pitched in that World Series. So his earned run average for that entire series was .067, and they took him out of a 1-1 game for a pinch hitter because they got, you know, his that was before the DH.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, they had a couple of guys on, and they were going to pinch hit Bobby Mercer, and you can't complain about Bobby Mercer. I mean, he hit it deep to the outfield, but still, you take the best pitcher of the entire series out of a game in the fourth inning of a 1-1 game, not right.
Yeah,
and you can see it. If you look at that video, look at Tommy's face in the dugout. You can see his feelings.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he wanted to come out of that game.
Yeah, and I honestly, I like baseball, and a lot of people say, you know, say what they will about baseball, but I like good pitching. That's what I like to watch in baseball. I'm not really worried about seeing home runs and stuff. I like to watch really good pitching, and that sucks that they had to take you out, or they took you out because you had one on your belt probably.
Well, Bob Lemon was only following what the boss wanted him to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a grandson, a little leaguer, and this kind of guy, Tommy John, is before he goes on the mound, he has FaceTime chats with him.
Really?
Doesn't give him a lot of advice. The advice was throw strikes. That's it.
Yeah.
The next one was bring the heat.
Yeah.
He gets on the mound, and only a 7-year-old, and he's going against 11-year-old. He has an immaculate inning. 9 pitches, 3 strikeouts. He gets off the field. He comes up to me. He goes, hey, tell Tommy I brought the heat.
Where is Braxton tonight?
Oh, they're still in school out here.
Wow.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Right.
I keep forgetting you're out there, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out here, all right.
Yeah.
I've been out here for a long time.
So, let's talk about, who's the other pitcher that's on the Hall of Fame ballot, Mac?
Marvin.
Just passed away.
Oh, that's Louis the one T. you're telling me about.
Yeah. Louis Tiant just passed away. And Louis Tiant, don't get me wrong, Louis Tiant was a great pitcher. I didn't like him too much because he was a Red Sox, but eventually he pitched for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But he had 59 less wins. I mean, he not even close. The records aren't even close. And that's just the record. That's just career versus career.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to say about the surgery.
Yeah.
It's called the Hall of Fame.
Right.
We have our neighbor here that's a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
There he is.
Hello.
You got to get in there. It's Mark.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Great guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Oh.
So I hope, you know, it's 25 and 25. That's our little catchphrase. You know, hopefully they finally realize they're probably not going to be any more 300 game winners. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know, just not the way the game's played anymore.
Yeah.
And then just like you said, it's the Hall of Fame. And I didn't want to get into the surgery being named after him because, you know, but goodness gracious, you know.
The numbers alone.
Yeah, the numbers
lifetime
alone.
Lifetime ERA, 3.34. 20-game winner, 3 times. Average 20 games, 4 years in a row. If that happened today, that would be a $350 to $400 million contract.
Yeah.
Inside. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Easy.
Easy.
What was your contract that your dad did for you?
The last, according to what they say, they got this little thing. Tommy's when he pitched for the Yankees in the 81 series, they paid him $575,000. That's, you got rookies making that.
No, when he signed out of high school,
yeah,
his dad did his deal.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Cleveland.
You and signed out of high school?
My dad agreed to it. He said, I think I undersold you.
Like 40,000?
Yeah, I got $40,000.
What the heck? Now it's millions.
Now they look at you and it's a million.
Yeah.
And you were a hoss, too.
Soto, that Soto is going to sign for 14 years for $700
million. Wow.
Holy moly.
That's a lot of money.
Crazy.
That's a lot of money.
Tommy goes, Dad, you couldn't keep your zipper up for another couple of years?
So you went to Cleveland right away?
Well, in the minor leagues.
Oh, okay.
He was actually in the minor leagues with Louis Tion, right, Tommy?
Yeah.
Really? So
when he retired, when Tommy retired, mm-hmm. he had the most number of years played in Major League Baseball, and after he retired, Nolan Ryan beat him by 1 year.
By 1 year, yeah.
So Tommy pitched 26 years, Nolan Ryan pitched 27.
I mean, that's something there. I mean, it's, yeah, in a freaking sport like that, that is something. Did your arm ever really bother you much after the surgery when you were playing?
Nope, never. Never missed a start.
Really?
I started. I pitched sometimes I pitched out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
I threw the ball.
In 1981, he appeared in three games in the World Series, and it was a six-game series. So you can't get pitchers to appear in two of them anymore.
Right? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
All right. He just had major surgery. Do you have any more important questions? He just had major surgery.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, we've got plenty of time on here.
And then I'm gonna get him back in bed.
Yeah.
Wow. That romance. That martini glass. That ball worked for you, Tommy.
No, I just happy to meet you, and I think, I mean, you got any more questions you want to ask him, Mac, before we?
All I can tell you is that this is one of the most deserving guys in the world to get in the Hall of Fame, not just because of his statistics, but because of the man he is. So
yeah, absolutely.
Kind of end with that one.
Yeah.
And he's always said this, because when he moved to Watertown.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Mel Buesler for 30 years. And he told Mel, go ahead, tell him what you told Mel.
When all I get inducted into the Hall of Fame, Mel is going to be my first interview.
Really?
Nobody else. No, I'll put them all off.
Mel gets the first interview.
Mel gets the first
interview. He is, dude. Mel is an incredible guy. That is awesome.
He's the greatest guy.
Wow. That's awesome. Cool. I got to text him and let him know that I talked to you.
Maybe all right. You can get the second one, Chuck.
Hey, we'll see. Remember, 25-25. I like it. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you.
Nice job, Chuck. Thanks, man.
Yep, see ya.
Hey, I'll talk to you, everybody.
Kiss Braxton for us.
I will.
What a pleasure, man. If we're in Watertown.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Hit me up. I'll be around. See ya.
Good one. Thank you.